Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Is that anybody's testimony today? Anybody remember when you first believed? An old song say, it was at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart was rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all today. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you for another day's journey, God. Thank you for this time of praise and worship and fellowship, God, in the house of the Lord. One more time, you have blessed us, and we thank you, God. Oh, God, won't you continue to bless, Lord God. Put your stamp of approval on your word today, that it will pierce our hearts and our minds, God. Give us the focus on how great you are, and all will see how great you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sister Jennifer, now that last song about wore me out completely. Amen. I just want to see your face. I just want to sit at your feet. God, you don't owe me nothing. God, you've done enough already. Saved my soul and made me whole. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I just want to be with you. Somebody may say, well, I just want to be my wife. Well, because of the Lord, you have that wife. I just want to be with my husband and my children, but because of the Lord, that those are the things I have. I just want to be with you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, first things first, there's some newlyweds in the house. We don't put folks on the spot, but Eric and Dana, just wave your hand back there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Now the word still go for you. I just want to be with you, Jesus, but look. You all enjoy the rest of your lives throughout eternity for the great things that the Lord has done. He who finds a wife find a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I'm not going to slow this truck down. Amen. We're going to keep on moving because the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Amen. Amen. I just want to share with you today, it takes faith to trust in God. It takes faith to trust in God. Now, listen. Now, I know that faith and trust is like red beans and rice. You know, grits and butter, you know. Enchiladas y frijoles y arroz también, you know. They're so close together, you know. Like I used to say, like ugly on an ape. That kind of fall apart. You know, but faith and trust are so close together. And in these days and time, we're going to go back to around 600 and something B.C. In the book of Ezra and talk about that for a moment, because there's something that I saw in this passage. I couldn't shake it all week long, you know. And, you know, God is so good. He has a way of communicating with us, right? And anybody have your Bible plan where it reads to you sometime when you can't read it yourself? So on this particular day, I had gotten busy doing something else, and I didn't hear nothing that the Bible thing had read to me. I said, I got to go back and look at that, listen to that. I got to read this. And so it took me back to Ezra chapter 8. I'm going to read something, then we'll get into it. And it says, and there by the Harbor Canal, I gave orders that all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. We prayed that he would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, and our goods as we traveled. Listen to this, for I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from enemies along the way. After all, we had told the king, our God's hand of protection is on us, on all who worship him. But his fierce anger rages against those who abandon him. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. Faith and trust. It takes faith to trust God. You know, Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so I looked at the Amplified Bible, and it says, now faith is the assurance, right, substance. Then it gets a little deeper. See, the title deed, the confirmation, you know. See, right now in my house, I don't have the title deed. I got the grant deed. You know, that means somebody else is holding on to the real thing, to the title deed, see. But here, it says, faith is the assurance, the substance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for. How many of us have hope today in Christ? It says, and things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. See, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. See, I believe stuff I haven't seen. Thank you, God. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by physical senses. That's faith. We're gonna talk about some folks who walked in faith in just a few moments. And then I took a look at, see what Webster had to say about trust. And it's talking about assurance, assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. Well, I took the someone or something out and read like this for me. Assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth in God and his word. See, we're going to talk about how faith comes first. But in Psalm 118 and 8, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It's better to trust in the Lord. See, because even a friend can tell you, man, I'll be there at 8 o'clock with bells on. 8 o'clock come, they won't be there and bells won't be ringing either. It don't mean that they didn't mean well. But when you trust God, who can never fail, see, that's why we trust him. It's better to trust in the Lord than put in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, in politicians, in political things, in folks, period. It is better to trust in the Lord. And see, I've learned something in life. Faith and trust go so close together. You can't trust somebody that you don't have faith in. And you can't have faith in somebody you don't trust. That's how close it is connected. And so as I began to look at this book of Ezra, chapter 1 through 6, it's in that time where God's people had been in captivity for 70 years. Because of disobedience, because of rebellion to God. And God had said that, you know what, the time is coming, if you don't get it right, you're going to go into captivity. Well, they did. A lot of things happened. They were down in Babylon. But just as God said, you can trust him, the 70 years was up. And he moves Osiris to give a decree that the Jews can go back to their homeland, can go back to Jerusalem and build the temple. So in chapters 1 through 6, Zerubbabel is there, and he's like a governor of the people, and he's getting the people together to start building back the house of the Lord that was burnt down with fire. And all of the sacred things of God was taken to Babylon. And here they begin to build, and I even heard it said this morning in Bible study that as they built the second temple, it didn't have the glory that the first temple had. But guess what? They're free now. They're out of Babylon, and now they're back in their homeland, and they have a purpose. How many of us have purpose today? They had a purpose for coming back, rebuilding the temple. Then almost 50 years later, in chapter 7, God sends Ezra. Ezra was a scribe. Ezra was well-versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given to the people of Israel Ezra came to Jerusalem from Babylon, and the king gave him everything he asked for. Listen to this. Because the gracious hand of God was upon him. That's Ezra 7 and 6. And so God, when God get to moving, we need to get in the move with God. You know, I don't want to lag behind God, and I don't want to run ahead of him. I want to walk lockstep with him. I'm learning how to try to walk step with God because it pays, you see. It pays big dividends. And so when you get to chapter 8, now here's Ezra on the scene. The temple has been pretty much built. But you know how the praise and worship has been going on in here this today? And the word of God goes on in churches all across this land. Well, now here Ezra, the man of God, he's coming with the word. He's beginning to bring the spirit of God now into this temple that's been rebuilt. And it's been done for years, but now God is saying, come on, it's time to come up a little bit higher. It takes faith to trust God. We have to be careful today because God has blessed us with so much, and it's a beautiful thing. We have insurance. A lot of us have medical insurance. You know, some people across this world say, what's that? You know, we can pick up the phone and make appointments. You know, we have nice houses to live in and cars to drive. And, you know, for the most part, things is pretty good. But I don't care what we have or what's afforded to us. God has done it. We need to have faith in God, and we need to trust him because the time is going to come when none of that stuff matters. And then who am I going to call on? Somebody said, if you call on Jesus, he'll answer prayer. You call on Jesus, he'll make a way out of no way. And so what stood out to me in Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 through 23, I see a man, a scribe, a priest. He was one of the first ones that had a pulpit in the Bible. A man who loves God, a man who's on a mission for God. To establish the temple of God and to bring worship back into the house of God. It's a charge on his life. And so, you know, it's better, again, to trust in God than in the man. So here's the scene to bring you home fast because not we have to read the whole book. So we ain't going to do that. But here they were in a place now where it's time to head on toward Jerusalem. King Artaxerxes had gave them everything they needed for the temple worship that came out of the Babylonian captivity. And here they are ready to establish what God has set him to do. Anytime you on a mission for God, the devil gonna get busy. Life is not always gonna be summer and spring. It's going to be some fall and some winter going on. But here, this is what caught me, right? He's saying, there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before God. How many know that's important? And the man was a man in authority. He was a man of God that was respected by the people. It's good for the people of God to be together on one accord. Trusting, believing, depending on God together. How many know it's good to be able to pick up the phone and call a brother or sister and say, pray for me? Yeah. You know, I need you to pray for me. And sometimes it's right now. There's a situation going on. Thank God for that fellowship that we have in Christ. So he gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's important. We are here today before our God. The song says, we didn't come looking for nothing. You know, we came to worship you, God. Came to hear a word from you. So he says that we prayed that he would give us safe journey You see, there's a need here. And there's folks who don't mean them any good, who wants, and we've seen it through the earlier parts of this book, people trying to stop the progress of God's people. And so it says, so we prayed that he would give us, that God would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, and our goods as we traveled. Have anybody got still in the habit of when you get in the car to go on a road trip, you start praying? Anybody do that? Lord, give us safe travel there. Lord, keep the drunk driver on his side of the road. God, don't let my husband go to sleep. Don't let him think he know exactly where he's going. Show him where to go, right? Protect us from danger seen and unseen. Because why? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. So we do that trusting God. But this is what really gives, there's a need for fasting and praying so that God would protect them and the children and all their stuff. And here's what really got me, and this is where this message come from me today to my heart. He said, for I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from enemies along the way. Now, that really stood out to me. Why was he ashamed? See, there's two things here. Was he ashamed because he had told the king how great his God was? And would he be ashamed within himself if he said, now, king, help us, give us protection? Yeah. Or could he have been ashamed because now this will flip it over to the other fellow, the king, to where I done told him what my God can do, and now I'm asking him. Why should I ask the heathen to do what my God can do? And so this stood out to me. It takes faith to trust God, right? It takes faith to trust God. So, for I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from enemies along the way. After all, we had told the king, our God's hand of protection is on all who worship him. I'm not asking the king, it said, better to trust in God than in man. He said, our God's hand of protection is on all who worship him. But his fierce anger rages against those who abandon him. So you see this picture here? It's some fasting and praying going on. They know that there's trouble up the road. But they fasting and praying and not going to ask this king or Artaxerxes, who have the authority to send the troops out with them, to send the military out with them to give them safe travel. He didn't do that. And so get this. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God, y'all just help me for a minute. I'm going to get through here. Help me say our God. I mean, say it like you mean it. Our God. See, how many know our God is awesome? He is powerful. Our God is loving. He's kind. He's gracious. And there's nothing he cannot do. And one thing our God cannot do is lie. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. It says, so we passed it. Thank God. They said, I'm going to turn my plate down. I'm going to turn off the television. The television, like my little nephew used to say, turn off the TV. The old ladies used to call it the one-eyed demon. So we're going to turn that one-eyed demon off. Going to turn our plate down. Going to sanctify ourselves before God. Because we have a petition. We have a situation. We have a need. So I'm going to deny myself some things here as I'm trusting my God. So he said, we fasted, and get this, we earnestly prayed. What do that mean? They didn't just say, now lay me down to sleep. You know, no, they start crying out to God. And this is what I love about God. You can tell him all about it. You can tell him the deepest part of your very being. And get this, he already knows. But when we cry out to him, when we pray to our Father, so we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us. What a prayer. God, take care of us. And look what it says, the last part. And he heard our prayer. Thank you, Lord. It takes faith to trust God. All right, let me jump down to the 31st verse, bring y'all home. So we broke camp. See, the Lord has turned the light on now. What do we do when we pray and we ask the Lord and we fast and then we know that he hears us because he always hears us? What do we do now in the interim time? We learn how to wait on God. That's where the trust come in. He said, look here. He said, we broke camp at the Ahava Canal on April 19th. They remember the day. And started off to Jerusalem. And the gracious hand of our God protected us and saved us from enemies and bandits along the way. Look at God. Look at God. Now they fasted and prayed. They did not ask the king who had his military. They trusted their God. And get this. So, and the gracious hand of our God protect the gracious hand of our God protected us. Have anybody in here been protected by God and you know he's protected you? So many times. Thank you, Lord. My God, my God. So we arrived safely in Jerusalem where we rested for 3 days. You know, sometimes we need to stop and reflect on what the Lord has done. God works a miracle in our life. We say, okay, I'm good. Let me go do whatever I'm going to do. No, sometimes we need to let it marinate for a minute. It's God who has brought us to this point. My nephew, who's doing life without parole, he got a commutation letter about 3 weeks ago from the governor's office. He said, I've been waiting on this for 9 years, but it's 9 years he's been giving God glory. It's 9 years that he began to confess of what he did. And God moved on his behalf because the good hand of our God is resting upon him like he's resting upon the rest of us. See, so the scripture says, in Hebrews 11 and 6, now, without faith, see, this thing have to start somewhere. All right, let me read it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who's him? The Lord God Almighty. El Shaddai, right? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. The heavens declare the glory of God. God has shown himself to his creation in so many different ways. See, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Okay, and thank God for the comma, because it don't stop right there. Got to first believe that he is. See, this is where the faith comes in. This is where it comes to the point where you make that connection with Jesus for yourself. You heard about him. You read about him. Grandma told you about him. But some way, somehow, you heard for yourself. And then you said, Lord, come into my life because I'm ragged at God. I'm tired of doing it my way. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And at that point, our faith kicked in. Jesus come into my life. Remember, he said, whoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So faith is, it says, so without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and here it is, and that he is a rewarder. This is where the trust comes in. See, I didn't come to Christ. I didn't say, okay, I didn't stand before the altar and say, I'm trusting you now for everything. I came and said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what this future is going to look like. But I'm tired of where I've been all my life. And now I'm coming to you in faith. I'm trusting you, Jesus, with my eternal soul. I'm giving it all to you. I believe now that you are the Son of God. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently, carefully seek him. See, trust is developed over a period of time. I came to Jesus just as I was. The song say, weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and now he made me glad. And now I can trust him. Ezra learned that he could trust God. He didn't have to depend on the king. He didn't have to depend on an army, because his God has an army that covers the whole universe and then some. So he wasn't going to trust in man. But we need to know that he is a God who rewards faithfulness. And we learn to trust him. We had a situation last week ago Friday, on our way to New Orleans to meet my daughter and the grandkids. We at the airport, and people in line with their bags, ready to get on the plane. And they stood there for about 15 minutes. And then the worker there say, y'all may well sit down. They waiting on the contractor to come. Everybody's like, huh? The plane is out there? So that was fine. And so me being the observant fellow I am, I'm looking out the window. I like airplanes. Look and see if it's the Max 8. You know, it's got Wi-Fi, you know. So it's out there. But I keep seeing a man walking behind the motor of the thing with a pad. No, everybody else is oblivious to what's going on. That's it, he gone. And I look again, he walk around to the other side of the motor. By this time, I see one of the pilots coming. I had on my Air Force hat, you know. I'm ready to go see my daughter and my grandkids, you know. And the pilot stopped, and we start talking. Come to find out one of the pilots, a believer. And we start talking about Jesus with all these people sitting out there ready to get on the plane. They didn't know yet about the motor. So I'm learning to trust God is what I'm getting at here. So we got it going on. I mean, we're talking about Jesus. The next thing I know, the Southwest pilot goes over to my wife, lay his hand on her, and start praying for her in front of all these people that's waiting to get on the plane. I said, and then she prayed for him in the lounge and everybody with their bags to get on the plane. And I'm still seeing somebody going this side of the motor, this side of the motor. You know, it takes faith to trust God. Right? Dan said, I'm out of there. Dan already gone. So then I see the other pilot. He goes down there, talks to the guy, runs back up, get on that gateway thing, comes back, and one of the other workers say, well, the engine, and everybody say, the engine? So there's a lot going on at gate 407 at this time, you know. So now this pilot, that we still texting each other now, wishing him and his wife happy anniversary. I mean, we've hooked up. This man got a ministry in a blue truck where he goes and pulls around and starts witnessing to people and praying for folks. But what happened, what really got me, I said, you know what? I'm trusting God, because the other pilot, he came out. He said, we're good. We're going to fly. Now, I wasn't trusting him, but I wanted to see my daughter and my grandkids. And I'm going to trust in the Lord. Dan, I don't care what you say, I got on that plane. And the Lord gave us safe travel there. And I gave God glory. I gave God praise. And you know what? I was sitting on that plane, I wasn't even worried. I sit up there not, but when you can sleep between here and Phoenix, you know you're doing pretty good, because it's a very short flight. What am I saying? We have to learn to trust God. But we need to first believe and know that he is. We need to make sure that we have given our life to Jesus. We need to make sure that our calling and election is sure. If we're saints, we need to act like saints. We need to walk like the people of God. We need to talk like the people of God. And we need to be very grateful of where he brought us from. Those songs say, look where he brought me from. Brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. It's something to be excited about when you know you're in him and he's in you. And you believe to the saving of your soul. And now comes the trust factor. Thank you, Lord. I'm trusting you, God. I'm talking about when the road gets rough and the going get tough and the hills are hard to climb, it comes a time now I got to trust God. Thank God for the insurance we have. I got lifetime medical, but you know what? When my heart was acting up, that didn't mean nothing to me. I had to call on the Lord. When I was standing up here holding on, Mother Carolina, you remember this? Trying to keep them falling down. Couldn't talk to folks outside the church without leaning on the wall. But God, he gives power to the faint. And that him that have no might, he increased strength. Oh, that's the God we serve. We're learning to trust him. I heard somebody say, trust him when you can't trace him. When the crowd get thin, trust him. When folks go south on you, trust him. When you're having a hard time forgiving, trust him. He'll make a way out of no way. He's our everlasting Father. There is none like him in all of the earth. Abraham had to learn to trust God. He figured out, you know, he's real. I'm going to follow him. He told me to. He's going to take me to a place that I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to follow him. But he had to learn to trust God on the way. He began to make his own decisions, and they wasn't working right. Telling the enemy, oh, my wife is really my sister. Put his wife out there. But God is faithful to his word. And he protected Sarah. Twice, Abraham put him out. But Abraham, in the end, learned to trust God. When God came to him, said, offer up your son, your only son, the son whom you love. Take him to the altar and offer him up. And by this time, Abraham got locked in. It didn't make sense to him. How many know sometimes things don't make sense to you what God has said for you to do? Remember in the Beatitudes, he said, turn the other cheek. Now, you know how our flesh acts. Say, huh? God, did you really mean that? Did you really mean pray for those who persecute you? Those who do you wrong? Yeah, God said, that's what I mean. And I'll give you what it takes to do that. We have to learn to trust God. The song said, learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. Learning to lean on Jesus. So saints, listen to this. Faith comes first. Build up your most holy faith. Remember from where he's brought you from. And then begin to trust him. I mean, listen, and I don't mean trust him by proxy. I don't mean trust him telling everybody else, see, look, I'm trusting God. If you don't believe it to the saving of your soul, to the depths of your soul, then don't. You better go to the doctor. You better go find another airplane. If you're not really trusting God, don't play like you're trusting him. But when you learn to trust him, you can rest in him. You can know that the Lord will make a way somehow. You know that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. You learn to trust him when the diagnosis comes back bad. When the prognosis is not good. I'm trusting you, God. Thank you, God, for the doctors, and thank you for all these other different things. But God, I'm trusting you now. In the name of Jesus. So saints, be blessed on today. Amen. Amen. It takes faith to trust God. We're living in perilous times. We're living in unprecedented times. We need to trust the Lord. We need to trust God. Amen. Whatever we have, God has already provided. Whatever we want or desire, he's already got it. So we just need to trust him. We need to trust him for our children. Whether they're rebellious or not, we're praying and we're fasting and we're praying for our children that God will bless them and raise them up. So we praise God on today. Look, I'm done. But this is what's on my heart today. It takes faith to trust God. I'm going to encourage someone today, trust God. I'm going to encourage someone today, if you've been kind of on the outside looking in, it's time to come on in. Come on in the house. The song said, get right, church, and let's go home. I tell the little kids, if you're going to go to school for 6 hours, you may as well get an A. Why go to church and come home with an F? You've been there the whole day and ain't learned nothing. That's not how God wants the saints of God to be, the people of God to be. We need to excel in Jesus. We need to be excited about our Lord. We need to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. We need to be like Paul said, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I tell you, the God we serve, he'll put running in your feet. He'll put clapping in your hand. He'll have you praying for folks that have done you wrong. He'll have you knowing that he's going to work it out. Yes. Amen. So I just want to encourage somebody today. Whatever God has put in your heart, whatever he's told you, showed you from his word, by his spirit, stand on it. Right. Trust him. He's going to do it. Listen, somebody they need to know he's going to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, praise God. Before we ask that monumental question, if there's anybody who want to give your life to Jesus today, Sister Jennifer, why don't you just come and minister for a minute as we, I want someone to think about today. Think about where we are in Christ. Where we want to be. If we haven't made that commitment to Christ, what's holding us back? If we have faith now to believe him, somebody today may need help to trust him. The song says, I surrender all. God is doing something in our midst, saints, and we got to get ready for what God is going to do. Come on, Sister Jennifer, praise the Lord. Amen. Then we're going to.